At first glance, a mind kind of focused on heaven doesn't sound like it would be of much earthly use, does it? It says all pie in the sky, we say in English. But what about, you know, pie in the sky, but what about some real meat on the plate? Well, you maybe don't like meat if you're a vegetarian, but, you know, something solid. You know, that's just up there, you know, wafty kind of things. And that's how it can sound. But that's not really what it's like to have a heavenly focus. In reality, Colossians 3, 5 to 17 goes on to show that identifying with Christ in his resurrection by setting our mind on heavenly things will actually result in a number of very grounded and concrete behaviour changes. It's not just pie in the sky. It changes our life now in real ways. What will it involve? Well, basically, this heavenly-minded focus will involve the daily putting to death or taking off of old clothing and the daily putting on of new clothes. I don't know, probably a few of you helped, is Nora here tonight? Yeah, probably a few of you helped Nora with her recent move this weekend and the last days to her new apartment. And probably a few of you who really got involved there were quite happy to take off your old, sweaty and dirty clothes after you helped to do all that move and put on some nice, fresh ones. Is that true, Nora? There you go. The old clothing that Paul is talking about here in Colossians 3 that we should take off and put to death is anything sinful, anything that belongs to our old life before we trusted and found our identity in Christ. As Paul says in verse 5, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. And look at verse 8, but now you must put them away or take them off, get rid of them. And the new clothing that Paul says we should put on instead is that clothing that fits our new identity, our new character in Christ. As Paul writes in verse 12, put on then. And verse 14, and above all these, put on. But we need to be careful here. We need to be careful. We need to be careful we don't wrongly understand this. The reason that we are daily called to take off the old clothes and put on the new clothes is not to save ourselves or bring ourselves to heaven. No, in Colossians 3, Paul is saying that because we already are in heaven, we've already been raised with Christ, because spiritually we're already there, because we already in Christ have been fundamentally and graciously already clothed, we should by the same grace seek to live now according to this new way and throw off the old clothes, because we're already there. We've all fundamentally, we've got that status and identity by grace, so we should put on the clothes that match to that identity that we fundamentally have. Throw off whatever remains of our old earthly life of sin and rebellion and put on whatever clothing is befitting those who have been given a new and holy status, a heavenly identity in Christ. To put on the clothing that is appropriate for those who will one day see Christ face to face and one day be transformed fully into his glorious likeness. That may seem hard to believe, as we struggle with sin now. One day we'll be perfect like Christ. That is wonderful. Surely we'd want to prepare for that day. Put on those clothes. So the picture Colossians 3 gives us is one of daily putting to death or taking off old clothes, dirty old clothes of sin, and daily putting on new clothes that reflect Christ. Let us look now then in more detail at the kind of clothes that God calls us to take off and put on. Well, to begin in verse 5 to 11, we see we are called to take off the old clothing of evil thoughts, evil words, and evil deeds. Firstly, in verses 5 and 8, as those raised with Christ, we are called to daily put to death or take off evil deeds. Evil deeds such as we see there, sexual immorality, impurity, anger, and sinful passion. Do we take spiritual purity seriously as Christians? Do we avoid there even being a hint of sexual impurity in our lives? Even a hint. Do our responses to situations reflect more our old sinful passions rather than our new life controlled by the Spirit of God? Well, secondly, we see in verses 8 and 9 that as those raised to new life with Christ, we are also called to put to death evil words, not just evil deeds, also evil words. For example, we see there in verses 8 and 9, slander, obscene or rude language, and lies. Let me ask you again, does our speech reflect the purity of the Lord Jesus? Are we truthful people? Do we speak the truth about ourselves and about others? Is the way we speak consistently pure? Do we avoid gossip? Do we seek to avoid it? Do we seek to avoid crude language when we're around, do we seek to avoid crude language when we're around Christians, but become totally different when we're around our non-believing friends? Just act different, just fit in, because it's more comfortable somehow. Well, thirdly, we see we are not only called to take off and put to death evil words and deeds, but also to kill any evil thoughts. In verse 5 we read, put to death, and then we see evil desire and covetousness, which is idolatry. In verse 8 we hear about malice. This is the desire to perhaps to harm or hurt someone, and it's perhaps out of revenge or maybe some kind of jealousy or anger. You see, Jesus doesn't want us to play with sin, but to put our old life of sin and rebellion behind us, to put it truly to death. We've died with Christ. We have died with Christ. Are we, with the help of the Spirit, burying sin in our lives, seeking to leave our sinful past behind? Or do we act more with sin like perhaps a dog with a bone who keeps repeatedly burying the bone and then uncovering it and playing with it, not taking sin nearly as seriously as we should? Are we like that dog with a bone, just playing around with sin, thinking, well, it's not so bad, maybe next time I'll say sorry? That's not taking it seriously. We have died with Christ. How can we live it anymore, this sin? Leave it behind at the cross. Well, as well as taking off the old clothes of evil thoughts and words and deeds, Paul also calls us and his readers in verse 12 to 17 to put on new clothes that match our new identity and character in Christ. And it just makes sense. If you're going to take something off, you need to replace it with something, don't you? I mean, if you don't, you're just trying to do the negative, get rid of the negative, it's not going to help. You need to put something better there. Fill your mind with something better. Fill your actions with something better. And these new clothes that we're called to put on can be summarized here from these verses, verses 12 to 17. I've summarized them as love of Christ, the peace of Christ, and the word of Christ. Well, firstly, in verses 12 to 14, the love of Christ. Have a read with me there. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. To live in Christ involves loving others as Christ does. The center of such love is self-sacrifice and forgiveness. And you're probably saying, Rob, I know this is not rocket science, and it's not. I think the vast majority of you here know this to be true. But the difference is saying we believe this and actually showing we believe it by the way we live, by the way we relate to others, by what we do when we go out of this building. Is there someone in LEC or your work or your family or your student group that you have not yet forgiven for something that they have said or done to you? Let us remember how hard Jesus worked to bring about our forgiveness. Let us also remember our new identity in Christ, that we have died to our old life of sin and grudge-bearing at the cross. We now have Jesus' resurrection life and strength to do the impossible and love our enemies. Because otherwise, without the resurrection life of Christ, it would be impossible, wouldn't it? We have the strength now with Christ to love our enemies. Of course, we're going to keep making mistakes along the way. We struggle with sin. We're sort of in this overlap of the ages period where Christ has won the victory. He's risen. We have his Spirit. But we await the full outworking of that when he comes back, when we have the full experience of his resurrection life and full purity, not struggling with our flesh, with the help of the Spirit. But we can still. We're not supposed to use that as an excuse, that struggle. We're told that there's that struggle just to know the reality. But we can, with his Spirit, put sin to death. Secondly, the clothing of ourselves with Christ-like behaviour includes putting on the peace of Christ. In verse 15, Paul writes, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." The peace and reconciliation that Christ has won for us on the cross should give us confidence and security, and it should affect how we relate to others, to each other, particularly how we relate to each other as God's church. Now, I'm not going to go into this much now anymore, because in my next talk, next Sunday, my third talk on identity, the last one, I'm going to look more at how our identity in Christ should impact our lives together as Christians. Well, thirdly and finally, the putting on of our new identity in Christ involves clothing ourselves in the Word of Christ. In verse 16 we read, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." In our daily lives and our life together as a church, we must allow the Word of Christ, the good news about Jesus, to have the centre stage. To hear God through his written Word, the Bible, must be our highest priority. To obey this Word and pass it on to others, our next highest priority. In order to honour the Word of Christ, we must also be careful not to stand as like the judge over the Holy Scriptures, and only accept what we find acceptable. I think Peter came to realise that he had to submit to the Scriptures, as he shared earlier with us his testimony. They are God's Word. Or to say we believe in the authority of God's Word, but because of fear of men or some other reason, fail actually to proclaim it as the authoritative and life-changing Word of God. If it is, if we say it is God's Word, why are we not telling everybody about it? To live in Christ means that we will take the Word of Christ seriously. And to put everything together then, we see finally in Colossians 3 verse 17 that to put on Christ and heavenly-minded character, to live according to our new identity in Christ, means that in whatever we do, whether in word or deed, we will seek to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God, the Father, through him. You couldn't leave without thanks. If you know the gospel, you know Jesus, how could you not stop with thanks? But seeking to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, that is what living a life with a heavenly focus is about, recognizing we are raised with Christ, and that is where we belong. And that must mean we seek to do everything with the love, the wisdom, and the strength of Jesus Christ, in order to glorify and honour Jesus in everything. Well, it's a big call, isn't it? It's a big challenge. It comes as a very big challenge. And the question is this often how we think, what we think life is about? Is this our picture of the Christian life? This picture that we've been given here. It can seem hard, but I want to reiterate that we are saved by the grace of God, and it is through that same grace that we can start putting that old life, those old clothes off, and putting the new ones on. It's all through the grace of Christ, from salvation to transformation, everything through grace. We do it with God's help. And when we fail, we turn back to grace, don't we? It's all through Jesus. But we need to realize if we are convinced that if one died for all, then all died, if we find our identity in Christ and seek what is above where Christ is, our life will ultimately not be about getting a good job, having the best success at university, having financial security, getting married, having a comfortable and enjoyable life. I wonder if that's you. It's often me, isn't it? It's so easy just to be comfortable in Germany, just to look for comfort. Look for comfort in whatever it may be, a nice bit of chocolate, cozy evening, watching TV, or whatever it may be, just to seek for comfort and just tune ourselves out from the needs, the loss of people in this world who just don't know Jesus, just with our comfort, our comfort, our comfort. No, that's what it won't be. It won't be that kind of life. I'm not saying you can't enjoy a bit of comfort, okay? I'm not saying you can enjoy a bit of comfort. God is gracious too. He's given us good world to enjoy, as we heard earlier. No, but this focus on Christ, this dying with Christ, instead it will be a focus on working hard daily with God, with God's help to put sin to death in our lives and put on Christ and his sacrificial character of love, to see Christ glorified in our lives and shine through our lives in all our priorities, all our thinking, all our behaviour and all our attitudes. He will be our ultimate goal. And we will realise that God's ultimate goal for us and all Christians in this life is to make us more like Jesus and prepare us for heaven. Not prepare us for the job market or the career move, but for heaven, to be with him in eternity. We're adopted. We're his children. That is where our home is. And to help others get there too and go that path with Christ too. That's what it's about. One died for all, therefore all died. So we may no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died and rose to save us. Amen.